This is Outspoken, the podcast that's not afraid to say exactly what you're thinking.
Our names are Amy, Kate and Sophie Torber. We're identical triplets, but we often don't have identical opinions. So sometimes things can get heated.
Outspoken covers all things reality TV, influencers, entertainment and issues facing women.
That is so fetch.
Thank you.
Welcome back to another episode of Outspoken. Now, today it's just Sophie and I as Amy is finishing off some work that needs to get done ASAP. So we've given her the day off and there's no better chance than to critique her Halloween party that was on the weekend.
I think she did a good job of the decorations. I don't think her partner Dale is too impressed because now he's got to store 10 ton of Halloween decorations, but it did look insane.
Yeah, I'd give her a 10 out of 10 for decorations. Probably 5 out of 10 in terms of service of food. When we got there, the food wasn't hot, but when it was heated up, it was very nice. This will be a test if Amy actually listens to the podcast because sometimes she doesn't listen when she's not involved.
Now, Kate, I felt a bit sorry for you because for those who haven't seen our Instagram reel, you dressed up as a pregnant police officer from Money Heist and...
Yeah, Professor Sierra. No, sorry, Inspector Sierra.
And... Amy posted these photos to Facebook and Instagram with no clarification that you were in fact not pregnant. So you copped a couple of DMs and messages.
Yeah. So for those who haven't seen the picture, I created a very late in pregnancy bump, like a 9-month pregnancy bump, just about to pop with some jumpers. And I copped a message from someone I used to work with saying, is there something that you're not telling me? And I mean, I thought it was quite obvious because the baby bump was quite squishy.
It was lumpy as well.
Lumpy. That was the word I was looking for.
Also, there were a lot of people being like, oh, the engagement makes sense now, which I mean was a bit offensive.
Oh, I thought it was funny. It was all in good humor. I then had to post a reference shot because, I mean, I suppose I did choose such an obscure person to dress up for Halloween.
Brandon was really impressed because someone on Instagram on our Outspoken account commented that he was Nathan Scott and that they liked his costume. And he's like, oh my God, someone noticed.
Did he let his mum know? Because she put so much effort into those shorts. Like he could have worn white shorts and no one would have ever noticed the special One Tree Hill school logo or whatever it was.
Well, clearly someone did notice the commitment there.
No, it was so much fun. Amy did a very good job organising it. I think she is now going to have to be holding annual Halloween parties.
I'm literally so excited for this weekend because we are going down to Port Elliot. I surprised Brandon because it was his birthday last Saturday. So I surprised him with a group birthday trip.
Surprise! All of Sophie's family are coming on your birthday trip.
I'm so excited because we managed to get this really cool pet-friendly accommodation. Which, you know, usually you think pet friendly, it's going to be a bit average, but it's a really nice place.
Oh, I'm so excited for this trip. It's weird though. I don't think I've ever stayed in Port Elliot. Our family used to have a unit at Goor, so it will be weird. We can probably get in front of the queue in the line for the Port Elliot bakery. Anyone from South Australia will know that that's, I think, the best bakery in the state.
I did Google things to do in Port Elliot and there was quite a short list of things to do. But if people have any good recommendations of restaurants or cafes to go to, it'd be much appreciated. Slide into our DMs.
Shotgun this room.
Chuck up the sofa bed.
Well, where am I going to sleep then?
Not really my problem.
What's that? Is that the bath?
Of course it's not the bath, you fucking idiot. There's the bath there. That's the kids' toilet.
Is it?
Yes.
Why has it got a plug on a tap then?
Because it's for checking your kid's shit before you flush it.
Talia Skane's mukbang has gone viral for all the wrong reasons. The Gold Coast influencer was called out for casual racism after she and her housemates mocked Asian food during a film taste test. Now, Kate, what happened?
So on Monday, Talia shared some Instagram stories of her and her housemate Emily Hearn shopping at an Asian supermarket. So they were there to get some food for a mukbang video for Talia's YouTube channel. Now, from the get-go, you could tell the girls were picking out food they knew that they would react badly to on camera. Emily said that she was scared, while Talia professed that there were a lot of cool things in the store. So later on, the girls shared their reaction to tasting some dried fish. Now, they said that the food stunk and tasted like a sweaty sock. They also proceeded to spit it out on camera to the point where you could actually see the bits of food and spit coming out onto the table. Let's throw to the clip.
Alright guys, Em and I are filming a video. We're in the Asian supermarket trying all of their
different items. There's so much cool stuff here.
I know, like literally there's this fish snack thing. I don't even know.
That is
I'm a little bit
not...
scared, but I'm open to it.
Bro, that's like honestly a sweaty sock.
Bro, okay. It's worse than a sweaty sock. Okay, yeah. So we tried a lot of the food and a lot of it is actually kind of nice. This is Jumbrong fish. It smells like I just put my face in a fish tank.
Oh, it stinks. Oh, no.
Oh.
That's
not
it. You
can
have it. You have to have a little nibble.
Oh, guys.
I'm not going to eat this whole. Let's have the corner.
I don't even eat.
Okay, ready?
Hot.
Oh, I'm actually scared. My tooth
shaking.
Three.
I can't. Oh, I can see it's rib cage or something. Wait, fish doesn't have rib cage. What is that? Oh, I can't do it.
It's a tooth. It's a tooth. Okay.
Oh.
No.
Oh, no.
No.
Now, this video was very uncomfortable and awkward to watch, and rightly so, it has caused a lot of backlash. An anti-racism advocate, Alyssa Ho, immediately called out the racist behaviour after being directed to it by her followers. Kate, for those who don't know, can you tell us a little bit about Alyssa?
Well, Alyssa is a Vietnamese Australian who, as you mentioned, is an anti-racism advocate. She's also a writer and founder of Melbourne's women's group, My Go-To Gal, as well as event styling company, Pretty Little Pink Book. And amongst all of that, she is also a diversity and inclusion advisor for Michelle Battersby's new project, Sunroom, which is an app where women and non-binary creators make money. Now, Alyssa currently has 21,700 followers on Instagram, and for those who aren't following her, I would highly recommend doing so. Now, Soph, Alyssa has shared some very insightful posts about Talia's video. Can you give us a rundown of what she said?
So Alyssa shared a post on Monday essentially explaining why what Talia did was racist. She also called on everyone to help speak up for the Asian community as the burden shouldn't keep falling on them to exhaust their education and emotional labor. Alyssa said, "I know how it'll play out. It'll either be, oh my God, I didn't mean to offend. I love Asian food, people, culture, or I'll be gaslit or ignored, which I'm just so exhausted from." The reason things like this are damaging and fall under casual racism is because Asian food is typically seen as dirty and gross. Intentionally picking up an item that they knew perhaps wouldn't sit well with their taste buds and then filming themselves being disgusted by and carrying on about it, especially in the name of entertainment, plays into that. With the COVID-19 related racism against Asians and the foods we eat or are rumored to eat, this was a poor choice. Alyssa then went on to explain in further posts that she understands people may not like certain foods from different cultures, but said there's a respectful way to communicate that. And she pointed out that Talia could have simply highlighted Asian food she liked rather than the food that she didn't like.
I really have to agree with that because I do think that they deliberately picked out food that they wouldn't enjoy so that they could give a negative reaction to it, because I think that gets more clicks.
Yeah, I definitely think they thought it would be more entertaining, but it's interesting when you do look at some of the big YouTubers who do food reaction videos quite regularly, they do show different shades of grey throughout, and they show food that they've been pleasantly surprised by or food that they just absolutely love. So I think that they did need to show a range of different reactions to this food. Now, Kate, what has the reaction been like to Alyssa's post?
Well, many people have shared Alyssa's post, including Clementine Ford, who wrote, "Honestly, influencers are a goddamn tumor. This is Talia Skanes, by the way. She has 600,000 followers plus a YouTube channel, and this is still in her stories. It's rank." The word rank really cracked me up because I feel like I haven't heard it since year 8. So many members of the Asian community praised Alyssa for sharing her post. One wrote, "I can relate to this. Mum sometimes packed Indian sweets after a prayer and I was teased. I felt so much shame and embarrassment at my very white school." Another commenter wrote, "As a Sri Lankan, I was exactly the same growing up. I'm 37 years old, and it's only in the last few years I've started to be outwardly proud of my culture. I used to hate everything about my family growing up because of exactly these types of videos and reactions to our food and spices from other Anglo kids. Thanks so much for calling this out." I found this comment from another person very interesting. They wrote, "There is such a deep history behind the food in Asian culture, often painful and tragic. I grew up eating dried fish and I still eat it. This was all my parents could afford to eat during the Khmer Rouge regime and after." After reading these posts, I do think one good thing to come from this incident is it's created a chance to have a conversation, because growing up Anglo-Saxon, I never really knew that this was a problem. And it's really highlighted to me and educated to me how offensive a video like this is. And I really appreciate the people that have shared their stories with this type of food racism. And I'm glad that it's given them a chance to feel validated in the feelings that they've had during childhood and now.
Yeah, and I do think it is really important to point out the timing of Talia's video in relation to what's going on in the Asian community. So since the pandemic, there has been a rise in Asian hate crimes. There has also been an increase in jokes about Asians eating bats along with dogs and cats. And it was only a month ago that former Bachelorette and Channel 7 journalist Georgia Love was called out for sharing a racist video inferring that a Chinese restaurant was serving cat on the menu. Now, what these types of posts from Georgia Love and Talia Skaines do is encourage people to view Asians and what they're eating as disgusting. So for Talia and her housemate to deliberately go down to an Asian supermarket and pick out food that they know that they won't like and deliberately will react badly to on camera, I just find it so tone deaf. And I can only begin to imagine how offensive it would be as an Asian person to see an influencer clickbait this type of video and try and get views by perpetuating this racist view that Asian food and in turn Asians are disgusting. And I just expected a lot more from Talia, similarly to Georgia Love. I mean, she's studied law. She's a very intelligent girl, and I just don't know how she couldn't see that this video was completely off and offensive.
Well, I feel like there's a lot of white privilege going on. Now, Talia did come out and make an apology, and she shared an aesthetic sort of shot of her couch overlooking a view in her apartment and wrote, "Good morning. Also wanted to apologize to anyone who was offended by my stories yesterday. I absolutely hate fish, and everyone who follows me is aware of that. I did not mean to offend at all, and it was intended to be super lighthearted. Just wanted to acknowledge that and apologize. Have a lovely day." Now, can I just say, for someone who has followed Talia Skaines for a few years now, I no longer do because I had that influencer cleanse and got rid of them from my feed, but I didn't know that she didn't like fish, and I don't think the majority of her 600,000 followers would just know that.
It's totally irrelevant whether she likes fish or not. This apology lacked any feeling or empathy. The way that she worded it by saying, "I apologize to anyone who was offended by my stories," she is putting the blame on the person who is offended by it, almost suggesting that there was no offense to be taken by these stories. There was also no learning that she took as well. She didn't say that she was, you know, apologetic to the Asian community and that she would be doing some research and a look into why it's offensive. She clearly doesn't understand why it is offensive.
Yeah, I don't think she took ownership of what she said at all. She brushed it off by saying, "Oh, everyone knows that I don't like fish." And she never actually used the word racist or, as you said, made any apologies to the Asian community. It's just like, "Oh, whoever was offended, sorry." And I feel like she just put it up because she felt like she had to.
The post also stayed on her story for an awkwardly long time. So Clementine Ford had called her out for quite some hours and the post still stayed up there.
Talia did end up deleting the videos. However, as you said, it did take some time. And it was interesting because Alyssa, who was continuing to comment on the incident as it happened the following day, copped some flack from someone who said it was gross of her to continue to share content about the incident after Talia had deleted the stories and apologized. The person then accused Alyssa of trying to generate negative attention towards Talia. So Alyssa came out and wrote, "I always find it disappointing that people feel the need to give these influencers slash public figures the benefit of the doubt and rush to protect and defend them instead of comforting and supporting the victims of racism or those who have highlighted what's happened. Can you see who and what you're protecting here? As blunt as it may sound, defending these people time and time again can allow racism to thrive." Alyssa then went on to say that Talia deleted the videos with zero acknowledgement and then followed up with a non-apology. She said, "Posting a non-apology today in a vague, aesthetic, temporary Insta story doesn't make everything right and doesn't mean that people hurt have to accept the apology. Was it deleted because she truthfully understands how hurtful and harmful it is, or because the apparent backlash and that people didn't entertain slash enjoy it as much as she hoped?" She went on to say, "I knew this was coming. I'm repeatedly called a bitch, a bully, and accused of perpetuating cancel culture. I wish that people who weaponize cancel culture were just as passionate about calling out and helping to end racism rather than excusing and justifying it." God, I love her. That is just a fantastic response.
She really hit the nail on the head about the post being temporary. If you actually were really sorry about what you did, you would at least make it a static post in your feed or speak to the camera and acknowledge the upset that you've caused and apologize about it. It would have seemed a lot more genuine. I also love the fact that she said, or she put up some aesthetic post, because it was spot on. It was, you know, this perfectly created little post that just blended in with everything else, because typically now when we see a black Instagram story, we know that's an apology post. So the fact that it was a very aesthetic post, it just blended into everything. You could have easily, you know, clicked by and not noticed that it was up there, which I think probably was her aim.
The text was also written really small, so as you said, it could easily be skipped over and no one would notice it. I did really like the way Alyssa pointed out that people rushed to the defense of influencers and turned them into the victim. And then somehow people like Alyssa, who decides to call out this unacceptable behavior, somehow gets trolled and then accused of perpetuating cancel culture. It's just so unfair.
I really hope that we do reach a point where people realise that calling out damaging behaviour isn't actually bullying.
We've been asked to sit at home and stay on the couch. Our ancestors were asked to pick up a gun and go to war. Perspective.
This week, Mitchell Orville caused a scene at a luxury resort with staff requesting the influencer put on a mask and shoes whilst entering the breakfast buffet. Sophie, what happened?
Well, this week, Mitchell Orville and Chloe Zepp have been holidaying at a luxury resort on the Gold Coast with their son, Artie. And during breakfast service at the hotel, Mitch allegedly caused a stir when he entered the buffet with no mask and no shoes. So due to COVID restrictions, diners are, of course, required to wear masks when selecting food from the buffet. And according to our source who's staying at the hotel, Mitch was asked by staff members to put a mask on. He allegedly replied saying he can't wear one because of a medical exemption. Staff then also requested that he put some shoes on, so he was provided with some hotel slippers.
God, I just love this. Well, it's really interesting because in Queensland, the rule states that you don't have to wear a mask if you have a particular medical condition or disability that may be made worse by wearing a mask. So it gives the examples of a person who has breathing difficulties, a serious skin condition on their face, mental health condition, or psychological impacts from experienced trauma. There is a little bit of a catch though, because laws also state that citizens of Queensland don't have to provide a medical certificate to prove they have a lawful reason for not wearing a mask.
So this defense really can be used by people who simply don't want to wear a mask and they don't have to show any sort of proof. And I must reiterate, though, that we aren't privy to Mitch's medical details, so we are unsure of his medical reasons for not wearing a mask.
I do want to point out, though, that his friend Sam, who was appearing in a lot of his vlogs and filming his vlogs, actually put a TikTok video up saying that he had an exchange between a police officer and he highlighted this rule that you actually don't have to have any proof of a medical exemption if you're not wearing a mask.
I also thought it was a worthy topic to talk about because, as we discussed in late August, Chloe and Mitch were called out by a number of media outlets for not wearing masks during a shopping trip to Big W with their son, Artie. And the pair documented their shopping trip in a YouTube video. And as it is now, at the time of recording that video, it was mandatory to wear a face mask inside Queensland shopping centres. So following the criticism, Chloe posted a lengthy Instagram post denying that she was an anti-vaxxer and saying that she is very much pro-choice. She said, "Where I live, I'm lucky enough to have more freedoms than other places, and for this I'm grateful. I never want to come across as abusing those rights. It was my mistake for publicly not wearing a mask, and I take ownership of that mistake." Now, I find it very strange that Chloe said she made a mistake for not wearing a mask, but she didn't use that post as an opportunity to defend Mitch's decision, considering he apparently has a medical exemption from doing so, because he was copping a lot of heat in the media for also not wearing a mask.
Well, Mitch has his own platform, so he could have easily come out and cleared the air and said he has a medical exemption for wearing a mask if that is in fact true.
It's really awkward to take a look back at some of their past YouTube videos that were shared at the start of the pandemic. So on the 23rd of March 2020, Mitchell was talking about the fact that more Australians should take social distancing more seriously. And, you know, as young people, it's our responsibility to keep the elderly and young people safe, and all we have to do is social distance. It's not that difficult. Here's a clip of what he said.
Obviously, the reason that we're social distancing is because we're in a fortunate position and we can. We don't have to go to work. We don't have to do our stuff. So nurses, school teachers, all that stuff, all those people that literally have to go to work and stuff, obviously you can't social distance, so that's not a problem. But I guess if you're in a fortunate enough position where you can do your part, I feel like, you know, too much of this attitude of I'm young, fit, healthy, I don't give a fuck about the virus. It's not you that you have to worry about, it's you getting the virus and giving it to people around you, babies, kids, elderly people. Like, it's just, it pisses me off, but what can you do?
It seems like Chloe and Mitch have had quite a backflip since 2020. I do want to finish on a bit of a fun note on this topic though. Seeing as Chloe and Mitch were at a buffet at the hotel, what do you think some of the biggest faux pas that people make while they're at a buffet? Clearly, Mitch didn't wear shoes or a mask. That's a big one.
I think one of the biggest faux pas happens at that big toast machine. I feel like it's a very sought-after device, particularly at a buffet breakfast. And I can't stand those dickheads who will get toast for their family members, stacks of toast, and they will stand there and keep loading up the machine while you're literally standing there to put your one piece of toast on. What is your biggest annoyance?
I really hate it when you're waiting for pancakes or waffles and someone takes all of them to bring back to their family's table. I think that's really selfish, particularly when they can see that you're waiting for them. It's interesting though, because buffets are allowed back in Adelaide now. However, there's a diner called Charlie's Diner. And for anyone that's in Adelaide, it's at Brighton. God, I nearly said Somerton. It's at Brighton where we used to live. And we had nearly every one of our birthday parties over the age of 12 there. And recently they've renovated and they have the buffet back. However, now when you go up to get a plate of food, they have a server there. I feel like that would be really humiliating.
I feel like it would really deter you from piling a lot on your plate. There would be an element of shame.
Yeah, and I feel like the fun of being at a buffet is, yeah, getting heaps and heaps of different plates, trying some of it, and then you usually don't eat everything off your plate and just leave it.
My favorite part of a buffet breakfast when you are away on holiday is when you steal items of the food to take back to your room and you try and do it so subtly with the napkin. There have been so many times where we've tried to steal danishes and pastries, and it's so funny because you do try and be so slick and not seen. But all the hotel staff really couldn't care less if you were taking it or not. It's just going to go on the bin otherwise.
And they would so know that you were doing it as well.
What are you going to all that trouble for, Bab? Bloody hell, they're only popping in for 10 bloody minutes, aren't they?
Tim, I'm only doing a finger buffet.
Oh, finger my ass.
Oh.
Sam Frost has backflipped on her decision not to get vaccinated. The Home and Away actor returned to Instagram after a three-week hiatus to confirm she's getting the jab after Channel 7 announced mandatory vaccinations for staff. Now, Kate, can you give us a little refresher on how this all started?
Yeah, so in early October, Sam Frost controversially shared an emotional 5-minute video to Instagram where she explained why she's not vaccinated. Sam said, "I'm speaking out because it's getting to a point now in the world where there's a lot of segregation." She also spoke about her mental health struggles and called for love and unity. Now, the backlash was swift and strong, with many offended over her use of the word segregation in the context to vaccines. And Sam ended up removing her video along with her social media accounts. Now, Sophie, it does appear that Sam has done a complete backflip since Seven's recent announcement about mandatory vaccinations for staff.
It definitely does appear that way. Now, for a bit of background, Sam Frost has played nurse Jasmine Delaney on Seven's Home and Away for the last 4 years, and that literally blew my mind. I can't believe she has been on Home and Away for that long.
Oh, me too. I have never seen her act in one episode. I think I've seen her in a couple of ads, though.
I can't say I've tuned in to watch it either. Now, people were very interested in what Seven's announcement meant for Sam. So Sam returned to Instagram to release this statement. She said, "I'm not leaving Home and Away. I've got a medical procedure booked in for January, so I won't be fully vaxxed until mid to late February. I will be written out temporarily. Jazzy is going on an off-screen adventure for a few weeks. but I'll be back. My bosses have been amazing. We've been in very open communication for months. Very grateful we were able to make a plan that works for everyone. Now, Kate, what did you think about this backflip?
I think it's quite clear that Sam Frost has sat down with Seven's PR team. She would have known in advance that they were coming out with an announcement that all Seven staff would need to be vaccinated, and they would have put this together. I do find it very strange that she is talking about a surgery that she's having in January and that's why she can't get vaccinated, because we've got to remember the vaccinations for Sam's age group have been available since August. So she really could have got it earlier than that. She's trying to say that that's her excuse for not getting it, but it very much goes against what she said in the video. And I find it perplexing because in terms of people getting booked in to have a medical procedure, those people are often told that they should be getting a vaccine before they go into hospital, because you could come into contact with people that have COVID.
I do find it interesting that her character has temporarily been written out of the script and, you know, she's going on this holiday, because I feel like Channel 7 are more giving themselves room to see if there is more backlash towards Sam Frost. They don't want any more negative attention, particularly in the wake of the Georgia Love scandal.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. I feel like they've sort of had to come together and they've both had to make sacrifices in this relationship in order to save face in front of the public.
Not many people have asked if I'm okay, but it's a very real thing to be going through behind the scenes.
Big Brother VIP has delivered on its promise of bombshells, with juicy details being dropped about Meghan Markle's first wedding and also Shane Warne sliding into numerous housemates' DMs. Kate, what was your first reaction to the show?
I was really excited to watch Big Brother VIP. I have always loved Big Brother, and I was really interested to see how Caitlyn Jenner went on the show. I love the Kardashians. I love Caitlyn Jenner, and it hasn't disappointed. She has been a main character. She has also spoken a little bit about Kim and Kanye's wedding that I very much enjoyed. She was giving some details about the big table, this big marble table, and how everyone's name was engraved on the table. Like, that was their sort of seating spot.
Are you getting a few tips for your wedding there, Kate?
Oh, well, I don't think I could ever afford that, but I was surprised how much she was talking about her family and controversial things, but I suppose she's been paid to do it. And I don't think she'll last very long on there, so they've kind of got to get the most out of her as they can.
I think it's quite clear that all the celebrities have been wised up and told, hey, you're being paid big bucks to be on this show. You've also been flown to Australia during a pandemic. You better spill your guts on what's exciting about your private lives.
Oh, you could see that with Thomas Markle. From the get-go, he's talking about Meghan. And I think at first, a lot of the housemates were excited to hear the goss. However, it became quite apparent he hasn't even spoken to her for 15 years. And everything that he's saying is such hearsay, and that he's not in the loop at all. And I think most of them were quite disgusted about how he sold his sister out to the media.
I completely agree, Kate. I feel like he is, though, trying to convince us all that he has this deeper connection with her than what we all think, because he was speaking about the fact that when he was 15, Meghan Markle was born, and he said that he fed her, babysat her, all the normal family stuff. And I don't know. I don't know how you could have any sort of connection with a sibling and then go and sell them out like that. He's trying to paint her as being the one who's into money and selling her story and all that. He's literally jumped on a reality TV show to badmouth his sister.
Well, Soph, can you tell us exactly about this letter that Thomas Markle wrote?
Well, Thomas claims that their father does not approve of Prince Harry. He said that his father says that Harry couldn't even protect those chickens in their backyard. And he's, of course, referring to the chicken coop that was very famously in the Oprah interview. He also said that their dad wants Harry to do proper things like call him up on the phone, go see him in person and say, I want to take your daughter's hand in marriage. So it's very clear that he feels like his side of the family has been left out of a lot of these important discussions.
He says that, yeah, they've left the royal family in a very public way and removed themselves from that whole situation. So I wouldn't be feeling too jealous about it.
I feel sorry for Meghan and Harry. It must be so difficult because they really don't have family on either side to lean on at the moment. I mean, Meghan does have her mum, but it's a very messy situation. As you said, Kate, Thomas also opened up about the letter. He said, "I wrote that letter because my private life went from private to in the paper. There were quite a few lies that were told about us. So I got a hold of the palace and I said, could you please do something about the paparazzi? The response I got back was distant family and I don't know these people. That came from Meghan. So that kind of pissed me off and she knows damn well we had a great time growing up together. So I wrote that letter." It just sounds like sour grapes to me. It's pretty funny because he's also told The Confidential that he thinks that Harry and Meghan will be tuning into Big Brother, obviously online. He also said that he believes that the Queen will be closely watching. I mean, the Queen is going through health issues at the moment. I think this could be the least of her concerns.
Yeah, Channel 7 are really trying to amp that up. They've also got, I think it's Amorosa saying that Donald Trump will be watching.
Yeah, there's lots of famous faces apparently watching Big Brother VIP.
Yeah, well, what about the claims that Jessica Powell has made about Shane Warne sliding into her DMs?
So it's actually 3 female contestants who said that Shane Warne slid into their DMs. So Jess said, "I had Shane Warne in my inbox the other week. Shane Warne, mate, he's a freak. Some of the things he was sending me, inappropriate. I replied a bit to him and then he just got real X-rated."
I love that she still yeah. replied.
No wonder he gets in trouble all the time. You don't write that over a text if you have a famous name. It is so disturbing though that it isn't just Jessica Power that he's been hitting on. It seems like so many of them have different stories about Shane Warne.
Yeah, it was pretty gross. I was surprised that the Seven Network could air it because I felt like it could be considered defamation, but I did notice during the ad, Reese actually pointed this out, is that Chemist Warehouse is a sponsor of Big Brother. And on the ad, they promoted Shane Warne's fragrance at Chemist Warehouse. So I thought there might have been a bit of a trade-off in order to tell those stories.
Yeah, I thought that was very strange because if anything, I thought it contradicted with one of their key sponsors. I thought the sponsor wouldn't be too happy with that connection.
Because it brings attention to Shane Warne. And I think a lot of men who would be buying the product think, oh, good on him, hitting on all those women, whereas most other people think it's disgusting.
That's true. It does put his name in the spotlight a bit more. I feel like we've got to read through the last couple of messages between Jessica Power and Shane Warne that she shared on the Fitzy and Whipper show. Would you like to be Shane or Jessica?
I'll be Jessica. So she wrote, "Hey, I'm sorry I've had a really big day and I haven't been able to reply. I would have loved to have caught up, but not in your hotel room. I'm not that kind of girl."
So to that message, if I'm Shane, he replied, "What are you doing now?" And I feel like this is the most seedy messages that boys send very late at night. Now, Jess didn't reply to this message. He then didn't take the hint and he wrote, "I'm leaving tomorrow for Sydney." She again did not reply. He messaged again and said, "I'm coming back to the coast after this Sydney shoot for 10 days. Let's catch up." Again, no reply. The final reply, I think, is the most cringy of all. He wrote, "Boo, what's on this afternoon?"
Take the hint.
Now, she ended up blocking him as soon as she left the Big Brother house because she said that when she was in the house, she kind of felt like her discussions were sort of like when you're at a bar and just chatting with mates, and she completely forgot that they were being recorded. She didn't want to have any awkward conversations with Shane when, you know, he found out what she was saying.
Well, I don't know. I don't know how much of that I believe. Well, Sophie, are you going to continue watching?
Definitely. I'm really enjoying it so far. I don't like any of the boring challenges, but I definitely love the way that the producers are making it interesting by dropping all of these juicy bombshells throughout the episodes.
Yeah, I agree. I think that they're going to run out of big stories though, and they're, you know, using it all for the first week to try and hook people. And I think the big names will probably be evicted early on, and then it might be a case of some very boring nobodies on there.
I didn't know who a lot of them were, apart from the big names. I had to keep Googling everyone.
Oh, I had no idea who any of them were except Caitlyn Jenner and I suppose Jessica Power.
Well, I think that's all we have time for today. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you have enjoyed it, could you please make sure you are subscribed and leave us a 5-star rating and review?
And join in on the conversation in our Facebook community, which is Outspoken, the podcast community.